We've been taking a look at our series on achieving a spirit of excellence. And we took a look at our God of excellence. He's our example. If we're going to achieve excellence in this life, then God is our example to achieve that excellence. And then we looked at the way of excellence. And the way of excellence is the way of love, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. He began in 12 and 31 by saying there was a more excellent way than just coveting spiritual gifts. And then we also looked at the process and the path of excellence. And this morning I want you to look in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want us, as we follow up on our name of excellence, I want us to take a look at how we can arrive at excellence. You know, if excellence is going to occur in our lives, then it's done through a process that God brings forth. And I want us to take a look at what Peter says, because, you know, somebody may say, well, preacher, you're just preaching perfection here. You know, none of us are going to reach that excellence until we get to heaven. Then we'll all be endued with the excellence of God, because when we see Him, we'll be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is and all these things. But folks, I want to show you specifically a verse as what we're going to read this morning, where I can promise you this morning that God has called you to excellence. There's not a one of us that are saved today that God has not called to excellence. If you never look at anything else, you could look at Matthew 5 where He says, "Be ye perfect, therefore as My Father in heaven is perfect." If that's not excellence, nothing is. Peter writes in verse number 3, and this is a verse that I want you to focus on, and then I'm going to get into the message this morning. But as you take a look at verse number 3, if you've got something to highlight or scribble or scroll or whatever you got there, the Bible says that God, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now there's not a one of us that can say that we can't live godly. Because the Bible makes it very clear God has given us everything we need to live godly. But He said that comes about through the knowledge of Him, meaning Christ, that hath called us, meaning Christ has called us. What's He called us to? He's called us to glory. And He's called us to virtue. That word virtue simply means excellence. God has called you and I today to complete and utter excellence in all that we do and say for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you do in life, God has called you to do it in excellence. Whatever it is that you do, whether it's on the job, God has called you to excellence. Whether it's at the church, God has called you to excellence. No matter where you find yourself, God has called you to excellence. And if excellence is going to happen, it's done through a process. And that's what I want us to look at this morning, is the process that God uses in our lives to bring forth excellence as He's called us to. Number one, I want you to take a look in verses 1 and 2 this morning. I want you to see the means of excellence. God has given us the means whereby we can obtain excellence as He's called us to. And there's three things that God has done here in order to allow us to reach excellence, in order to give us the means whereby we may obtain excellence. Number one, the means of excellence is merited through the righteousness of God. It's merited through the righteousness of God. Isaiah made it very clear that our righteousness, if we're relying on our own works, our own ability, our own efforts, that our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah said. But the Bible says this in verse number 1, that Peter was a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. Number 1, you're never going to obtain the excellence God has for you unless you come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, the means whereby we obtain excellence, the means whereby we fulfill the calling of God on our life, comes through the righteousness of God. And the only way to receive the righteousness of God is by placing your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's merited through the righteousness of God. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, And I'm going to read this verse to you. But in verse number 9, Paul makes it very clear. Paul said, I want to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Folks, we'll never receive the grace of God to achieve the excellence of God if we don't first exercise our faith in God. It's merited through the righteousness of God. Secondly, it's multiplied through the knowledge of God. The means to obtain excellence is multiplied through the knowledge of God. Now, I've said this every week probably for the last 6 weeks. But folks, you'll never ever get close to achieving excellence if you're not in the Word of God. If you never read your Bible, if you never open your Bible, if it sits in the pew of the church and you never see it until you come back on Sunday, you will never achieve the excellence of God. And folks, the Bible said that grace and peace would be multiplied to us, but it only is multiplied through the knowledge of God. And so many of the church today, and I'm not talking about here, but just in general today, so many of the church lives defeated lives because they're ignorant to the promises of God's Word. They simply don't know God's Word. They can't achieve excellence for God. They can't live up to their full potential because they never get into the Word of God. We'll put forth 5 hours of TV a day. We'll listen to music. We'll do all these things, but we'll never get in the Word of God. Then we wonder why we live defeated lives. We wonder why our children don't know nothing about God. We wonder why they couldn't care less. It's because we're not in the Word of God. Folks, it's multiplied through the knowledge of God. Grace and peace is multiplied. It's not just given out in little bits. He said it's multiplied unto you, but it's done through the knowledge of God's Word. If our kids know how to add 2 and 2, they ought to know how to read the Bible. A little story says a young woman was on vacation in the depths of Louisiana, and she wanted a pair of genuine alligator shoes. She wanted it in the worst way. But she was real reluctant to pay the high prices those vendors were asking for. So after becoming very frustrated with the no-haggle attitude of the shopkeepers, this woman shouted, well, maybe I'll just go out and catch my own alligator so I can get a pair of shoes at a reasonable price. Shopkeeper said, by all means, be my guest. Maybe you'll look out and catch yourself a big one. So determined, the woman turned and headed for the swamps, set on catching herself an alligator. Later in the day, the shopkeeper was driving home when he spotted the woman standing waist deep in the water, shotgun in hand. Just then, he saw a huge alligator swimming quickly toward her. And she took aim with that shotgun and pulled that trigger and shot and killed that alligator. And with a great deal of effort, she hauled that alligator up to the bank of the swamp. Lying nearby was several more of the dead alligators. And the shopkeeper watched in amazement. And just then the woman flipped the alligator over on its back and frustrated shouts out, oh, for crying out loud, this one's not wearing any shoes either. You know what her problem was? She had no idea how alligator shoes were made. You know why people are walking around frustrated and defeated lives today? Because they have no idea how to live the victorious, excellent life of Christ. The reason why is they never open the Word of God. Folks, grace and peace is multiplied to you. It's multiplied to your family. It's multiplied to your children when you open the Word of God. It's magnified through the purpose of God. In verse number 2, the Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And He's called us, the Bible said in verse 3. He's called us to glory and virtue. Folks, the means of excellence is magnified through the purpose of God. God has called you to excellence. He has a purpose for your life, and that's to achieve excellence in all that you do. Are you obtaining that purpose? Are you fulfilling the purpose God has for your life? Folks, God has excellence. in mind for you. He has a great plan for your life. He has many blessings. He has a map laid out. He has a road that's paved for you already. He said He's foreordained that there's good works, He said, that you should walk in. Folks, God has a plan for your life, and the plan means that you'll obtain excellence if you'll follow what God has for you. Folks, there's the means of excellence today. But you say, "Preacher, that's all well and good. I've heard that stuff before." Well, folks, I think we need to look at the means of excellence. I think we need to add a little motivation unto it. I think God wants to motivate us to excellence. See, He's already got the means there. The means are already... If we're not achieving excellence, it's not because God hasn't made the way for us. It's not because God hasn't given us enough to do it. He says He's already given us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. So maybe we just need a little motivation then, in order to achieve the excellence God has for us. Well, I think we can get motivated by two things. Number one, I believe we can get motivated by God's power to enable us. Aren't you glad you're not living this life in your own strength? Aren't you glad you're not living this life on your own power? Aren't you glad that you don't receive, like Brother Danny said, the healing of God based upon your ability or man's ability, but you receive it based on the ability of God? Aren't you glad you're not going to heaven based on your ability? Aren't you glad you're not going to heaven based on your works? Aren't you glad you're not going to heaven based upon what you've accomplished or what you have not done? But it's all by God's power that we receive anything in this life. And God's given us the power to enable ourselves. He says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." Folks, that ought to motivate us to excellence, knowing that He's not left us hanging, that He's not left us short-handed, but He's given us all things to obtain excellence for the power of God. I'll give you a little idea of what I'm talking about. And I was speaking to a fellow the other day, taking a look at the car, and he had heard about the accident with the hay bale that we had, and he said, "Where'd you get your car fixed at?" I said, "Down at Burgess and Son's shop." And he said, "Boy, that Joe does a good job, doesn't he?" And you know what that told me? And I'm not saying that to brag or to try to send you business, but I think he does a fine job, and I'd encourage you to go down there and take your business to him. But you know what, I say this right here? I say this because his reputation is out that he does a job of excellence. See that right there? Wouldn't you like to have somebody say that to you? I, as a pastor of the church, I want somebody out here in the county, when they ask you, "Hey, where do you go to church at?" And you say, "Out at Calvary, Free Will Baptist Church." They say, "Boy, I've heard that pastor. I've heard about how he preaches. I heard about what he said. Boy, that's a man that preaches the truth of God. That's a man that believes in the excellence of God. He's striving for what God has for his life." And folks, we have no reason whatsoever not to obtain the excellence God has for us. None. There was a woman that was living in a remote valley of Wales. She went to a lot of trouble to have electricity installed in her home. She was the only customer in the area, so installation was awful expensive. But 3 months later, after electricity was hooked up, her consumption of electricity was less than a single price unit. When asked whether the cost of installation was worthwhile, she said, "Oh yes, I switch it on every night to see how to light my lamps, then I switch it off." Now, can you imagine that? With unlimited light and power at her disposal, she continued the weary grind of filling and lighting of her own lamps. And folks, that pictures many Christians today. They could be growing, they could be living the life of excellence, but they're mired in mediocrity. They are failing to rely upon the power of Jesus to enable them to live victoriously. Folks, you have everything you need today to live in excellence. God's power to enable should be motivation, and God's promises to encourage us. should be motivation. God's promises to encourage. Because in verse number 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. This isn't some consolation prize that you win on Wheel of Fortune when you don't get the big puzzle. I mean, folks, this is a great, he says, exceeding great and precious promises that God has promised to you and I if we'll walk this road of excellence, if we'll give God our very best, if we'll do all that we can for the kingdom of God. He's promised us exceeding great and precious promises. Man, that ought to motivate us to do what God wants us to do and to do it with excellence for all that we have. And thirdly, we see the method for excellence. God's given us the means whereby we can achieve excellence. He said, I've given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's also given us the motivation whereby there's none of us who can say, well, I just don't really feel like getting motivated too much. No, God's already motivated you. He's given you all the power to enable you to reach excellence. And He's also given you all the promises to encourage you along this way to reach that excellence. Now, what's the method for that? There's two things. Number one, eagerness. Eagerness. We should have an eagerness to obtain. I really believe that's 99% of the problem right there. The reason that God's people do not achieve excellence is because they're not eager enough to do it. They're simply not eager enough to do it. It requires effort. It requires diligence. It requires faithfulness. It requires work. It requires being accountable to God. It requires being accountable to fellow Christians. It requires a lot of different things. But folks, God desires that we would be eager to obtain excellence. Now you say, preacher, where's that come in at? Let me tell you. The Bible says this in verse number 5. He said, and beside this, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. That word diligence means an eagerness, a haste, an urgency. Giving all diligence. Hurry up, in other words. Hurry up and receive excellence. Hurry up and reach that excellence God has for you. Hurry up with haste and urgency. God's coming back soon. Get on board with excellence because you don't know how much longer you'll live. Your life is like a vapor. It's here today. It could be gone tomorrow. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Get on board. Get eager. Get urgent. And haste to reach the excellence God has for your life. We should be diligent to do what God would have us to do. We should be diligent in the Word of God. We shouldn't have to have somebody read that for us. We shouldn't have to have somebody just come in and tell us what. We should be in the Word of God. We should be diligent with the Word of God. Eagerness. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says this in chapter 6 and verse 11. Paul said, and I happen to believe it's Paul that wrote the book of Hebrews, by the way. If you disagree, that's all right, because the Bible never tells this specifically. But it says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Folks, Paul said, we desire that you'll show the same diligence that we're showing and the other saints are showing. Don't be slothful, he says. Don't live this life of laziness, but live it in excellence that God has for your life. He's given you everything you need to achieve excellence. Now live in it, he says. Eagerness. But secondly, here it is. Here's the kicker. It takes effort. It's eagerness, but it takes effort. Because the Bible says, giving all diligence, he says, add to your faith. See, that's my responsibility right there. Now, what's he talking about when he says, add to your faith? He's talking about the faith that it took to save you. He's talking about that faith that you placed in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And he's saying, now that you're saved, add something to it. Now that you're saved, begin to grow. Now that you're saved, begin to reach for the excellence God has for you. Add to your faith, he says. That's my responsibility to do that. Now, I can't do that on my own, but I can do that through the power of God that has been given unto me because He's given me all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So I can reach the excellence of God. I can reach the excellence that God has for my life. But I'm only going to be able to do it if I put forth the effort to reach that excellence. I've got to add to my faith. Folks, it takes an eagerness. There's your method right there. It takes eagerness and it takes effort. And you know what? Got a lot of Christians that way. Amen. We ain't eager to get started on God. We're not eager to get rolling down that. We don't have no effort put forth into that. We're not eager to get started. We don't have any haste or any urgency. We're just kind of just going nonchalant about our business. And hey, if nobody ever says anything to it, nobody will go say anything. Nobody will confront. Nobody will do anything at all. Because who knows what might happen. They might run away. They might quit. They might get mad and all these other things. I mean, you think about that. Some of you, they can't do without me. Well, if you're not doing anything at all anyway, I think we can do it. It's not hurting, but we don't want to do it. What we want to do is you to get involved and get eager and put forth effort and reach the excellence God has for your life. Some company may see it and turn a blind eye to it and pay you the same amount of money every week whether you go in and work hard or not. And I'll tell you this right now, when God sees that we're not doing our part for the kingdom of God, He's not going to pay us just as if we were. We can't expect to go to heaven, stand before God and say, God, I want my 40 hours if all I put forth is 23. God's going to give me 23. We want full-time blessings on a part-time job. Amen. Full-time blessings on a part-time effort. But folks, that's why many times we're living in the poverty of God's blessings is because we're living on a part-time blessing. And you can't feed a family on a part-time salary. You can't reach excellence on a part-time blessing. It must put forth effort and work for God. And if it happens, we'll finish with this. You'll see the manifestation of excellence. We see the means of excellence, the motivation of excellence, the method of excellence. And if those things are followed, we'll see the manifestation of excellence. The child of God will be equipped. In verse number 8, he says, and if these things be in you and abound, if you'll follow the means of excellence, and if you'll get motivated for excellence, and if you'll do the method that God has for your life, then you can guarantee that these things will be in you and they will abound. You will be fully equipped. And secondly, you'll be employed. You'll be employed for God. Because the Bible says this, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Now that word barren simply means inactive, unemployed, lazy, and useless. And what God is saying is that if you'll reach the excellence, put forth the effort, reach the excellence, I will promise you that you will have a place working in my kingdom. And I don't know about anybody else, but I think it's an honor to work for God. You think of who God could have called. But you're doing what you're doing for God. And what an honor that is to do it for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He'll be employed. Thirdly, he'll be enlightened. Because in verse number 9 it says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. See, if we're lacking those characteristics of verses 5 through 7, if we're lacking putting forth the effort, if we're lacking having eagerness for God and we don't add to our faith, then the Bible says we will be blind. But if we do those things, the Bible says we will be enlightened. There's a story of a private school in Washington recently was faced with a very unique problem. Number of 12-year-old girls were beginning to use lipstick. Anybody been there before? I hadn't been there yet, by the way. And they would put it on in the bathroom of the school. And that was okay. Wasn't nothing wrong with them standing before the mirror putting on the lipstick. But after they'd put on the lipstick, they'd press their lips to the mirror, leaving dozens of little lip prints all over the mirror. And every night the maintenance man was having to go in and remove them from the mirror. And the next day, sure as a world, the girls would put them back on again. So finally the principal decided something had to be done. So she called all the girls to the bathroom and met them there with the maintenance man. And she explained that all these lip prints were causing a major problem for the custodian, who had to have the duty of cleaning the mirrors every night. So she wanted to demonstrate to the girls just how hard it was and what effort had to go into cleaning these mirrors every night. So she asked the maintenance man to demonstrate how he was having to do it. So what the maintenance man did is he took out a long-handled squeegee, dipped it down into the toilet, and cleaned the mirror with it. Since then, there's been no more problems on the mirror. You know what happened to them? They got enlightened. If you're doing that at school, you better go ask the maintenance man what he's doing. They got enlightened. And folks, the Bible says if these things be in us, we'll be enlightened. And last thing is this, we'll also be established. Preacher, do you believe in the assurance of your salvation just as sure as I'm standing here? He said, if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. If I'm reaching for excellence and I'm striving for excellence and I'm achieving the excellence God has for me, I don't have to worry in my life that I'll ever fall, because I know that I'm doing what God wants me to do. And if I'm doing what God wants me to do, I know He'll bless me. Folks, it's not about our profession of faith that guarantees that we're saved. It's our progression in the faith that gives us the assurance of our salvation. Amen. It's not our profession, but it's our progression in the faith that assures our salvation. Folks, the person who claims to be a child of God, but whose character and conduct give no evidence of spiritual growth, is deceiving himself and heading for judgment. Is there evidence in your life of spiritual growth? You think about that. Is there evidence in your life of spiritual growth? Only really you can answer that. But there's a lot of telltale signs you can look at that would let you know. How much time, Brother Gilbert said in the Sunday school assembly today, how much time we spend on the things of the world and how much time do we spend with God? Weigh those two out and see. How much time are we spending at the things of this world? And how much time do we spend with the things of God? Have we made a profession of faith, but for all the time we've been saved, we've never gotten faithful to go to God's house? It's always hit and miss. It's always in and out. So we've never got into studying and reading the Word of God. We'll go to church and our Bibles are sitting there and we'll pick it up and we'll look at it while the preacher's reading it or the Sunday school teacher's reading it. And when church is over, we'll close it up, stick it right back down that pew, and we don't open it back up again until next Sunday. Is that spiritual progress? Absolutely not. Folks, it's not our profession of faith that says we're saved. It's our progression of faith that says that we're saved. Are you achieving excellence? See, that's the excellence God wants you to have. He's given to you and I all things that pertain unto life and godliness. There's no reason why any of us should not obtain the excellence God has for us. He's given you the method, the means, and the motivation to achieve the excellence of God. Would you stand this morning?